Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, we want to talk about how the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ that is mentioned in the New Testament, is different. And it's different in many ways from the man-made denominational churches that are in existence today. Every week, millions of people around the world gather in a church building and worship God. We do the same, but we are different. And this morning we want to talk about how we are different. We want to be those Christians at the memorial of our Church of Christ. We want to be just like those Christians in the New Testament. And in many ways that makes us different from others. And we call upon you to be a member of a New Testament church, a church today that is trying to be just like the one that Jesus built in the New Testament. We don't want to be different for difference sake. We don't want to be different just to say that we're different. But by following the New Testament teaching, that makes us different than many churches today. We proclaim a gospel message that is different. We have a practice in the church that is different. We have doctrines and beliefs that are different than many denominational churches today because we're following those doctrines and practices and beliefs that are found in the New Testament church. So this morning, friends, if you'll take out your Bibles and give me just a moment, I want to talk about how the Lord's church is different. And I would encourage you to be a part of that church. You know, we're going to look at later in the lesson some of the ways in which the Lord's church is different. But I'd like to begin this morning by just simply reminding us that the Lord's church was purchased by God even before He created other things in the world. We find that He had a plan to save mankind. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul writes, "Making known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of times." And then come on down in verse 11, "In whom," that's Christ, "also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will." It was purposed by God and planned by God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, talking about the Lord's church, "according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's called an eternal purpose. And so this was something that God had in His mind even before He made the earth. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, Paul writes, "Unto Him," that is God, "unto Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations." We give God the glory when we are a member of His church that was built by His Son. And Jesus died for the church, that is people. Church in the New Testament is never a building, it's always people. And He died so that there could be a people called the church that belongs to Him. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood." The Lord's church was purposed by God, and it was purchased by His Son. It was preached by His apostles. And so we understand the importance of being a member of the Lord's church. Jesus is also the Savior of the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find that when Jesus died on the cross, Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being Himself the Savior of the body." Being Himself the Savior of the body. And then a few verses later, Paul writes that He, Jesus, might, that Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for it, that He might sanctify it, that is, set it apart, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the Word. And that's baptism and obedience to the Word, that He might present the church to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so we need to live separated. Baptism, separates us from our sin, and then we need to continue living without spot or wrinkle. If we do sin, we can seek forgiveness, we can pray and be forgiven, but we're not to live a worldly life of sin. Jesus purchased the church so that it could be without spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish. And so that's important for us to live the proper way. When the New Testament church was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached and some 3,000 were baptized for the very first time. We find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that each time that there were individuals who were baptized and they obeyed the gospel, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And so the saved are a part of the Lord's church and added to the church. And we understand that the apostles went out and preached this very New Testament church, and they preached that everywhere. And members were made members of the Lord's church. They were not made members of any kind of denomination. The apostles' teaching, they were teaching what Jesus wanted them to teach. That was the same message everywhere. There were not different denominational names or different denominational churches that were started. That was hundreds of years after the New Testament. But the same thing was taught everywhere. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, I send unto you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways, which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church. And so we find that the same thing is taught over and over again, and that's the New Testament gospel. So it was purposed by God. It was purchased by God's Son. It was preached by the apostles. And so the Lord's church, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And so that's a basic background to what we try to be today. We try to follow that same New Testament teaching that Paul taught, and that makes us a Christian just like it was some 2,000 years ago, and we can be baptized into Christ and be baptized into His church and not any kind of human denomination. So this morning then, I'd like for us to consider how different the Lord's church is today than many man-made denominations. Let's look at a few marks of difference. One would be the way the local church is organized, the leaders. Today, in so many man-made denominations, you have a hierarchy of leadership or organization, where one church is over a few churches, and then they're over more churches, and they're over more churches, and you have a hierarchy where there are people at a lower level, and then there's people above them and people above them, all the way up to, in some denominations, one man, and he's over the whole church. No matter where it meets in the world, he's over everything. But you don't find that in the New Testament teaching. In the New Testament church, each local church of Christians was organized with elders and deacons and Christians and a minister, but there was no hierarchy above that. Each local church was autonomous, meaning self-ruling. They followed the New Testament. That was their guide, but there was no one above them telling them what to do or giving orders. Orders were not sent down through a chain of command or some sort of denominational hierarchy. Each local church was on the same level. Each had its own elders who shepherd the flock, who guide the flock, deacons who do service, saints, of course, members, and an evangelist. We find that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. The bishops, the deacons, and the saints, and there would be a minister, a preacher. But no denominational hierarchy like you see today, where lower churches have to give answer to some sort of a regional church, and then they have to give answer to a state organization, and then the state organization has to give answer to a national organization, and then they have to give answer to a worldwide organization, and so forth. Each church was separate and autonomous, with elders and deacons and saints and a minister, and there was no organization tying them together. any kind of intercongregational hierarchy or organization. Each one was independent of the other. What kept them the same was, as we just read, 1 Corinthians 4:17, each local church is following the New Testament teaching. Paul said, even as I teach everywhere in every church. And so that's what made them the same. They had the same teaching. They followed the same New Testament teaching. But there was no intercongregational organization or hierarchical type of organization. A second, and we practice that today at the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, and others in the area practice that same organizational structure, and that makes us different. Sometimes people ask me, well, is there a bishop that tells you all what to do, or is there a bishop that gives plans and programs for your particular church? Does he come in and tell you when to move and when to change and all that type of thing? And the answer is no. There's no one over us anywhere. There's no headquarters anywhere. There's no one man or group of men, a conference, a synod, a convention that sends laws down and rules down to those below them. There's just nothing like that in the New Testament, so we don't practice that today. And so that's one thing that makes us different. Another thing that makes us different is that we simply follow the worship that is found in the New Testament. We don't engage in any kind of worship that is man-made and that came on, was added later. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, right after some 3,000 were baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38, and then come on down to Acts 2:41, you'll find that some 3,000 were baptized. The very next verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so here are some things that are listed as acts of worship. We find in Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, that they sang without an instrument. Instruments of music were actually added about 600 AD or 700 AD. There were no instruments of music ever used in the New Testament churches. All they did was sing. They sang without instruments. And yet, instrumental music in worship service is very common in the denominations today, but it was not a part of the New Testament church. That was added later by man. We engage in the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, Sunday, we engage in the Lord's Supper. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, unleavened bread and the grape juice or the fruit of the vine. And that's what was done upon the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, and verse 7. Some denominations today don't do that. They change that. The Mormon church, for example, uses water instead of the fruit of the vine or grape juice. And so things are changed in different kinds of ways. They gave a free will contribution, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It wasn't tithing where you had to give a tenth. It was just a free will contribution with no set amount determined. It's whatever you decided you want to give. That was another act of worship. Praying, of course. There was preaching in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 8, 9, 10. There was preaching in the local assembly on Sunday, and a study of God's Word and those other things that we've mentioned. So when you look at the New Testament church, you find five acts of worship. You find singing without an instrument, praying, the study of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word. You find a free will contribution, and you find the taking of the Lord's Supper. Those are the five and only five things that you find as acts of worship in the New Testament church. And that makes us different, because we're not going to add to that or take from that. We're not going to take one of those and add to it or take from it. We're just simply going to follow the New Testament teaching with regard to that. So organization is different. Worship is different. The third thing that is different would be what we engage in as what we might call works of the church. What we work, what we plan, and what we do. There were three among the New Testament churches. They evangelized the lost. They preached the gospel to the lost. And they went out and talked with others about being saved. Secondly, they edified or built up through teaching those who were already saved. And then number three, they would be benevolent. They would be helpful, give money and food and clothing and that type of thing to Christians who were in need. And so evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Those were the three and only three works that they engaged in. You don't find them doing other things. They were not engaged in any type of political works. They were not engaged in any kind of social or recreational works. There were no camps, no church camps, no fun and games, no gymnasiums, no... there's just all kinds of things that are done today in the name of religion, and yet we find none of that in the New Testament church. That was all added by man later, and people continue to add to that today. You might have a church car wash. You might have a bake sale. You might have a camp. You might go to a theme park like Dollywood. It's just almost endless the number of things that people do in the name of a church work, and yet you don't find that anywhere. That's not a part of evangelism. Evangelism is using the gospel to preach. It's not anything else. It's not a part of edification. That is using the gospel again. And it's not a part of benevolence. So the social, the recreational, the political, the other kinds of activities that many churches engage in just simply are not in the New Testament. So that makes us different when we just simply engage in evangelism, edification, and benevolence toward Christians who are in need. And so it makes us different. But not because we just want to be different, not because we're doing that so that we can get attention. We're different because we just simply follow the New Testament plan. And we would encourage others to do the same. God has not given us a right to change His plan. Jesus has not given us permission to change His plan. He built His church. He gave us His word on how that church, people, are to be governed, how they're to worship, how they're to work, and we don't have a right. We have not been given permission to change the pattern, to change the plan. And we understand that in our life. When our children, our own children, try to change things that we want, we don't appreciate that. When the boss has people working for him and they try to change things at work that he's not given them permission, he doesn't want that. The same thing at school, the same thing in other types of organizations. We don't want that there. We don't want it in our own home. The Lord doesn't want it in His church. And some people, frankly, have just assumed and presumed that it would be okay to add to and take from the plan of the New Testament church when they have no permission to do that. And they'll stand in judgment day and have to give an account of having added to or taken from that New Testament pattern. We don't want to be in that position in the judgment day of having changed the plan and the pattern and the purpose of the church. We don't want to change any of that, so we simply follow what is in the New Testament. And there are things in the New Testament that are meant to be for all Christians of all times, and that's what we are following today. What's another thing that is different besides the organization, the worship, and the work of the church? Another thing that is different is the plan of salvation. We simply preach the same plan that was preached in the first century in order to save people from sins. We're not going to add to or take from that plan. And people in the New Testament were always taught that they had to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. They were always taught that they must believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that they must confess that with their mouth. Romans 10:9-10, they were to believe in their heart and they were to confess that with their mouth. They were also taught, for example, Acts 2:38, to repent of their sins and be baptized for the remission of their sins. So when you put that all together, they're to hear the word of God, have faith. It comes by hearing God's word. They're to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're willing to confess that with their mouth, tell others, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They have to repent of their sins, meaning turn around 180 degrees. Turn around and stop living that sinful life. Repent and then be baptized to wash away those sins. Acts 22:16, Saul, later the Apostle Paul, was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And so that's what we tell people today. We don't add to that. We don't take from that. We don't try to alter that in some way. Just like these other things, we're going to follow that New Testament plan. And if you were to read the book of Acts in the New Testament, start reading from the very beginning there in Acts chapter 2 where the church began, read all the way through the book of Acts, you'll find several what might be called cases of conversion. And it all ended the same way. They were all baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Some were Jews, some were Gentiles, but they were all told exactly the same thing. And so we find that it is important to preach that same scriptural plan of salvation today. Now, that makes us different because some people want to change that plan. And again, they want to add to that or take from it. The other thing in the New Testament is it was always those who were old enough to hear and believe and obey the Word of God. There were no infants ever in the plan of salvation. And yet there's churches today that will baptize infants and that type of thing. So many people will change the plan of salvation. Some remove baptism. They say that it's not necessary in order to be saved. They say that faith only or belief in Jesus is the only thing you need. Later, if you want to be baptized, you can, but you don't have to be. And so people add to it. They take from it. They modify it. The Lord's church today is different. A church of Christ that is claiming and planning and purposing to be that New Testament church, it's different because we're not going to change that plan of salvation. And so, friend, we would call upon you to be a part of that same New Testament church that exists today by going back and being a part of that New Testament church, following that pattern. You know, the Lord's church today is different because it is not of human origin. Jesus built the church, Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And every Christian who was made a Christian, exactly like it was in the New Testament, they are a part of that church. And it wasn't started by a man. So many denominations today were started by men. And some, like for example, the Lutheran Church, they named themselves after Martin Luther. That they have human names and are of human origin. Today, those who want to be a part of the Lord's church just simply call themselves Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, or Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, they were called Christians first at Antioch. There's no human names, no denominational names. And today, we just simply call ourselves Christians. We're not called anything else. The Lord's church does not follow any kind of human teaching or any kind of human head. There's one head on a body. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, we're told that Jesus is the head of the body. The body's the church, and he's the head of that. And he's the savior of the body. And he's the head of the body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, which is his church, Paul says, the body, which is his church. Now, how many heads are on your body, friend? You have one body and you have one head on your body. Well, the church, the Lord's church today, the Christians that are following his will, they have one head, and that's Jesus. There's no earthly head. And yet, in some denominations, there will be a pope, there will be a president, there will be some human figure, some man or a woman that is the main leader of that church, and there's a headquarters somewhere, and people have to give answer to them, and that's just simply not in the New Testament. There's one body, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, and there's one head, and that's Jesus. And so we get our directions straight from Jesus as we follow his teaching in the New Testament. There's no one between us and Jesus. There's no human head, no headquarters, no conference, synod, convention, group of men and women that dictate anything. There's no one in between us and Jesus. And so that makes us different because there are a lot of human denominations, even in this town, where the local church in Springfield has to give answer to someone other than Jesus. Some head somewhere of that denomination is dictating rules and doctrines and law and different things like that. And that's just simply not in the New Testament. There is no one that we give answer to other than Jesus Christ. And we give answer to Him through His Word that is found in the New Testament. And so that makes us a lot different. We follow the New Testament. We do not follow a manual, a discipline, a catechism, or anything else. Our founder is Jesus Christ, not Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, John Smith, Mary Baker Eddy. There's no pope. There's no president that we answer to. We're different in name. We claim to be Christians. We're not any of the other names that you see in the different churches, even in Robertson County. There's all kinds of different names. We're just simply Christians. And like we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 5, the Lord purchased His church so that it would be holy. We try to live pure lives, and we suffer for the cause of Christ, and we uphold the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we're told that the Lord's church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the support. We want to uphold the New Testament teaching. And so we preach and we practice the New Testament teaching. And when Christians sin, and they do sin, we're certainly not perfect. We repent of those sins. We pray for forgiveness, and we get back to living right before the Lord. Friends, the Lord's church is different. Don't settle for just a denominational man-made church. Don't settle for something less than the Lord's church. Jesus did not die on the cross for all of the different man-made denominations. He died on the cross for that group of Christians that began on the day of Pentecost and that followed and that can even exist today, but only those who do it the way that it's found in the New Testament. Jesus did not die for man-made denominations, but for one church, one body. And we can strive to be a part of that today and leave behind any man-made type of church, or we can just be satisfied with anything. And then find out in the judgment day, like Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, but in that day they will be told that they cannot enter into heaven. There's a lot of religious people that claim to follow Jesus, but they're not doing His will. What they're doing is the will of man-made denominations. And so, we don't simply claim to be different. We demonstrate each week that we are. And I would encourage you, friend, to come and experience the difference. Just simple New Testament worship. Come experience simple New Testament worship. Come and experience simple New Testament organization. Come experience no man-made laws that are constantly changing. Experience what it's like not to have to give answer to an earthly head somewhere where He's making new laws all the time. Come experience no gimmicks, no cheap type of religion to get people to come in with fun and games and food, but serious study of God's Word. That's what's going to help us get to heaven, not the fun and the games and the food. Experience what it's like just to simply be a New Testament Christian. It really is different. And there are those who have come and experienced that, and they say how refreshing that is. So many people are discouraged and divided and downtrodden with all of the man-made religion. Come and experience what it's like just simply to be a New Testament Christian following Jesus Christ. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and if we can study with you, if you'll contact us, please contact us and come be a part of the New Testament Church. Thank you for joining us today, and have a good day.